All right, we're in Heavenly Places, page 142, if you got the book. And the, of course, it's a, what do they call those little books that you use every day? It's on the tip of my tongue, of course. But this one's for May 15th, of course, that's today. And The Royal Path. Yeah, thanks, a devotional. Yeah, and today it's titled The Royal Path. And it starts off with Psalm chapter 73, verse 25. And it says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Oh, man. You know, that's just... when you get into that relationship with Christ, you understand that kind of a verse very... And yeah, you love your wife, you love your kids, you love your husband, whatever, you know, you love everybody. But you love the Lord, you know, much more than anyone else because... I mean, he's the one that cares for you and your wife and your kids and your husbands and all that stuff. All those that you pray for. Anyway, it goes on to say that the soul that cherishes the love of Christ is full of freedom, light, and joy in Christ. You know, to be able to grasp something like that before, you know, you give your life to Christ, maybe there'd be a lot less people like myself who kicked and screamed all the way to Christ. I always thought, oh, it's not going to be that much greener on that side of the fence. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Becoming, you know, when you become a Christian, but then you realize you don't want to do those things, but you can do this and you can do that. Things you couldn't do unless you were a Christian. That's one thing the devil doesn't want the people to know, though. You don't want them knowing about that, especially when it comes to peace. I mean, today, Prozac, that'll do it for you. When in fact, it's no, Christ will do it. Anyway, she goes on to say, in such a soul there are no divided thoughts. The whole man yearns after God. You know, like David says, deep crieth unto deep. She says, he goes not to men for counsel, to know what is duty, but to the Lord Jesus, the source of all wisdom. He searches the word of God that he may find out what standard has been set up. Can we ever find a surer guide than the Lord Jesus? True religion is embodied in the Word of God and consists in being under the guidance of the Holy One in thought, word, and deed. He who is the way, the truth, and the life takes the humble, earnest, wholehearted seeker and says, follow me. He leads him in the narrow path, or rather in the narrow way to holiness in heaven. Christ has, and here's the neat thing too though, and I've noticed this my whole Christian walk. And I know some of you have noticed it as well, because hindsight's always 20/20 when it comes to walking with Jesus. Or even walking with the devil, because you turn around and you look back and says, boy, did I mess up there, you know? And so, yeah, hindsight's always going to be 20/20. But one of the neat things I like about the way Jesus leads sometimes, you don't even know. And like, for example, the trials that I'm going through now and some of the things that I've been praying for, that my wife and I have been praying for years, and yet the prayer has not been answered, but we trust him, and we'll walk into a situation, we'll walk through a doorway that he opens, and then days, weeks, months, years later, we'll realize, wow, that's when he answered it. It's just like when, you know, when we lived up near Chicago. And I always say near Chicago because that's how it is. You know, I'm from the Chicago area. I was born and raised there, you know. My first 5 years was literally in the city, up by Midway. And then, but down in these parts, when I got down to central Illinois and then moved over to Indiana, people out here say, oh, no, you didn't live near Chicago. You were in Chicago. I says, no, I was out in the suburbs, way away from the, you know, I mean, you get on the road in Cook County, and, you know, a 10, 15-mile drive in Cook County is going to give you, it's going to take you an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, and they don't care. I says, no. I never really understood until this old man came up to me one day, and he had a map, and he says, look, let me show you something here in part. And he unfurls the map, and he says, you see that? I says, yeah. He says, that's Chicago. And he says, no, that little dinky little section up there by Lake Michigan, that is Chicago. All that other stuff around it, them's the suburbs. And he said, no, down here, all of that is considered Chicago. And so I guess to this day I still say I live near Chicago because I get that the way they think down here, but I don't like the idea of actually living in Chicago because it really is a different world up there. It really, really, really is. And but the neat, my point was, I didn't know we were supposed to move away from the city. I was just praying on a daily basis, as was my wife, that the Lord's will be made apparent unto us as to what he would have us do. And at the time when the prayer started getting hot and heavy, because we were living in a 1,011-day house that we call, that most of you already know about. I'm not going to get into that again. It's just a kitchenette where 10 people lived. That's right. Me and my wife and 8 kids. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. We didn't know where to go, what to do, whatever. And just waited on the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you know, we ended up here, we ended up there, and we moved away from the city. And then 6 months after we left the city, we found out the truth about the Sabbath. Well, actually, 6 months since we left our siblings, if you will, just like Abram, when he left, got thee away from thy kindred and then became Abraham. I'm not comparing myself to Abraham. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is the same thing happens to everybody that the Lord moves away from kindred that are, you know, I'm not saying you're supposed to shun them and turn your backs on them and hate them. No. You can still be, you know, friendly and share with them as often as you possibly can. But you don't want to be hanging with them, at least with my crowd of siblings and my wife's crowd, because they're all Roman Catholic. And some of them are rather intense. They don't much care for truth. And so, you know, make a long story short, after a few years keeping Sabbath, come across Ellen White's writings, and in there, reading in the Great Controversy, I think it was, years later, I find out that we were supposed to move away from the city and get a job in the city and live hours away. And then that's exactly what happened. And we never knew that. And so this is why when we pray now and we don't know what to do, we just keep praying because we know he's going to open up the door. It's just like when it comes to, you know, like with the buy and sell thing. And all of you have witnessed these things happen in your lives as well. So when the day comes when, you know, we can't buy and sell, which is speeding towards us right now like greased lightning, if we're in a city, you know, somehow, some way, the Lord's going to get you out of there. I mean, now you know you're supposed to leave. I didn't know back then. But even now, even though you know you're supposed to leave, you don't know where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do. And then somehow, some way, things are going to work out and you're going to be out of there. And then you're going to look back and you're going to see, wow, it's amazing how he does that stuff. So just trust him. It's just, you know, he literally leads in the narrow path, in the narrow way to holiness and to and heaven. And sometimes you don't even realize he's doing it, but he is. I mean, if you're obedient to him, he's going to direct your paths. It's just part of the way he loves you. And then she says, Christ has opened this way for us at great cost to himself. We are not left to stumble our way along in darkness. Jesus is at our right hand, proclaiming, I am the way. And all who decide to follow the Lord fully will be led in the royal path. Yea, more, the divine path. Cast up for the ransom of the Lord to walk in. And this is what we strive on to as a body of believers, or the remnant of her seed who strive to be in that number. The Gideon band, you know, the 144,000. Because we know we can attain to that divine nature. Because Christ said we could. We can have that full assurance that we will get there. But we have to strive on to that. We have to be overcomers. We have to turn our backs on all that the enemy of souls is enticing us with. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to get away from the city. And a lot of times get away from your old friends and your siblings. And again, without shunning them, you know, go and see them once in a while and share with them. But you don't have to implant yourselves and hang out with them. Because that's just, I mean, by beholding you become changed. I mean, just watching TV is going to change you. So, and that's why a lot of us have already taken the TVs out of our homes. It's just nothing but, it's just useless. It's just Satan's favorite tool to preach. So she goes on. The more we learn of Christ through his word, the more we feel our need of him in our experience. We should not rest until we can rest in wearing the yoke of Christ and lifting his burdens. The more faithful we are in service to him, the more we shall love him. The more we shall magnify him. Every duty, large or small, that we perform will be done with faithfulness. And as we follow on to know the Lord, the greater will be our desire to glorify Him. And this is why some of us are walking the way we are, is because, you know, to God be the glory, that's what we're striving for. We don't want to walk on water so that we can be all that in a bag of chips. We want to walk on water so that He is glorified. We don't want that pride. We've seen what that does to people's faith. Many of us have seen people that have walked strongly with the Lord and to the point where they built a pedestal for themselves to stand on that is so high they can no longer see the path they used to walk on with Christ. It's all about self now, and they're just standing still. They're not going anywhere, you know, up, you know, forward, backward, no, they're just locked in place and headed to hell in a handbasket. I mean, they're just stagnant, lukewarm, you know. And she finishes by saying, we are individually now testifying to the world of the power of the grace of Christ and the transformation of human character from glory to glory, from character to character. In beholding Christ, our pattern, who is pure and holy and undefiled, we are being prepared for the society of the heavenly angels. I mean, think about that. I mean, heaven wouldn't be heaven if you come in there with an attitude. Seriously, if you're butting heads with every little thing that turns around and says, oh my, are you kidding me? You're going to paint the wall that color? And it literally ruins your day. Why? It's a wall. Seriously. I mean, I used to be like that. Control freak. Everything had to be just the way I wanted it. And it gets old. It gets on you, too. It'll start getting you sick. I mean, it'll ruin your life. You know, it literally makes it very difficult to have that peace of everything that, you know. I mean, seriously, look at the people that God puts around you. These are good people. And I remember, you know, when I was young in faith, I still had that papal attitude because I used to be Roman Catholic. You know, that major finger-pointing thing after I came out of Catholicism, and I wanted everybody to walk perfectly because I was trying my best to walk perfectly, and if you didn't walk perfectly, I'd let you know about it. And it ain't the way to go, you know, because, but by the grace of God, there go I. I mean, they're walking to the best of their ability. If my father can wink at their times of ignorance, so should I, and vice versa. Because, you know, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks just like anybody else when it comes to how we should be walking. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we all need to learn. And this is why I praise God for this church family. And I'll be sharing some of this in regards to in the praise list tonight, too, because, I mean, that convocation really affected me in a major way. I mean, it blessed me in a major way. I mean, it was just needed. It was like recharging your batteries. We got to do this more often. And, you know, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together, like it says in Psalms. Hey, the Lord's not kidding there. Iron truly does sharpeneth iron. But she says, if Christ is to be our head and prince in the heavenly courts, it becomes us to inquire, what is Christ to us now? Can we say we contemplate our Redeemer, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Can you really say that? Take stock in yourself and find out if you can, because if you can't, get on your knees. That's the only place you're going to find him. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.